Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians in chapter 6. Ephesians in chapter 6. Let's read verses 11 and 12. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Last week we looked at verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. God has furnished us with everything that we have need of in the physical life. But we as his children have been furnished with everything that we need for spiritual life. And that includes an armament which is suited to a soldier. We are to pick up that armament which he has supplied for us. And we are put it on. We need this armament. We need the whole armament. Not just one or two pieces. But we need the whole armament, we said, to withstand the, as he said in our verse, the wiles of the devil, the deceit and the trickery of the devil. We talk about lust, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And certainly, he paints those things, those lusts, to be very beautiful, to be very pretty, to entice us to fall into his deceit and his trickery. Something that's easy for the flesh to do. The flesh desires it. Satan's got it looking pretty good, and so the flesh would tend to run after those things, but we are to, as children of God, to crucify the flesh. We're to put it behind us. We're to set our affections on things above, not on things of the earth, as Colossians chapter 3 tells us. Matthew chapter 6 tells us to be laying up treasures in heaven, not treasures here on earth. We also discussed and thought about the another avenue is that Satan comes at us through deceit and trickery is false teachers. And the apostles in their writings give indication to us that they abounded in their day. And how much more do they abound today? We were told in the book of 1 John in chapter 4 and verse 1 to try the spirits. See whether there be of God or whether it be of Satan, whether it be of man. And all these are avenues and devices by which Satan uses to deceive us, to trick us. Today we're ready for verse 12. And shall we call this the danger? Going back to verse 11, the wiles of the devil, the wiles of Satan, the devices, deceits, and trickeries of Satan are part of that danger. But here's an avenue with which he uses that presents the danger. There's a danger. There's an army. Satan has his army. And they are a warring army. They're armed and they're ready to do battle. And we must be prepared for that battle. Therefore, we are to put on the whole armor of God. Verse 12 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." That's not the enemy we're fighting. He says we're fighting an unseen enemy, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The armament of God is necessary, it is needed. Not because we war against flesh and blood, as our text says. No. The armor of God. Think about the armor of God for a minute. The armor of God, the armor that he's mentioning in these verses, in these next verses, are we commanded to pick up a visible piece of armor and put it on? No, what he's talking about is an armor of God, which is spiritual. Spiritual armor. Because we wrestle against a spiritual enemy. One who seeks to destroy us spiritually. We are to, the armor of God is spiritual, and therefore our war is a spiritual war against the, shall we say, the forces of Satan, against his angels, against his demons. I don't know what you think about Satan's angels, what you think about Satan's demons. There are some folk that believe that's foolishness. There is no such thing. But that is not foolishness. We're told in Scripture that that's not foolishness. Jesus himself casted out demons. He casted out a legion of demons out of one individual and permitted them to go into the swine. And a whole herd of swine ran violently down the hill and drowned in the water bottom thereof. So it's not foolishness. They're real and present force to be reckoned with. Men and women across the world are demon-possessed, just as they were demon-possessed in the days of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the days of the apostles. Men and women today who are demon-possessed, and you don't have to look far, and you don't have to wonder long about certain individuals if they're not demon-possessed. Turn with me back to the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. where it gets into these forces of Satan just a little bit. But chapter 2 and verse 2 of Ephesians says, wherein in time past ye walked, you who once were in this way of life but no longer are, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What spirit is now working in the children of disobedience? The prince and power of the air. Him, and he, because he is not omnipresent, as is God, as is God the Father, as is God the Son, as is God the Holy Spirit, because he is not omnipresent, he does have demons and angels to do his bidding, to do his possessing of individuals, to influence saved people, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. So the spirit of Satan and all of his demons and angels is at work to promote more of that behavior in the children of disobedience and the children of wrath, and even get us to do it if he can. Turn with me now to the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4. And look with me at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Both of these are plural, in the plural. Seducing spirits. We don't understand that to be the Spirit of God, do we? The Spirit of God doesn't seduce you to do subduction, that which is evil, that which is wicked, that which is following the lust, desires, and passions of the flesh, and doctrines of devils. False teachers, spreading their damnable heresies, spreading the doctrine of Satan. You've heard reference of that is a doctrine straight out of the pits of hell. Meaning, hell is prepared for those who propagate such teachings as that. And these seducing spirits and these doctrines of devil is speaking lies, hypocrisy. Their conscience are seared with a hot iron. They think nothing with speaking of lies and the hypocrisy which they put forth. They even forbid to marry. Won't name any particular organization, but you know an organization that forbids their ministers, so-called, to marry? Commanding to abstain from meats? No, an organization like that? Especially a certain time of year. Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. They demand on Fridays. I believe their numbers have largely gotten away from that on Friday, not during the Lent season. they give up this or that for Lent. Never did understand that. But it's all food, it's all meat, which is created by God and is fine for eating as long as it be done with thanksgiving. There's another verse that promotes asking the blessing on your food, thanking God for providing that food for us. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, a verse that you all know well. Probably most of us here can quote this verse. Book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. He tells us, after telling us to all of us be submitted one to another, and just preceding that, you can see that in those verses. But he tells us to be sober, to be vigilant. Why do we need to be sober? Why do we need to be of sound mind? Why do we need to be watchful? Why do we need to be on guard? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And he's just doing it himself, like we said. He has his angels. He has his ministering spirits that go out. What is it? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that talks about them transforming themselves, Satan himself transforming himself into an angel of light. So don't think it strange that his ministering spirits do the same. And make you think that they're somebody good, something good, beautiful, until it be revealed that they're not. He said, principalities and powers. Principalities and powers have engaged in rebellion, have engaged against, in rebellion against God. And not only sought to force men to worship them with the worship that belongs to God. Remember in the book of Exodus chapter 12, or chapter 1, God said he was a jealous God, and that they were not to give their worship to another. Principalities. Actually a word that means being created first in order. What was the first in order? The angels. Who was the first to fall? Lucifer. Satan. And a host of angels with him fell. They were the first created beings. And they are the ones that were engaged right off the bat in rebellion against God. And seeking to overthrow God and seeking to take worship unto themselves. They are the ones that God cast out of heaven, cast into the earth. And they are the ones that Satan employs to do his bidding as well. They launched an assault. They launched an assault against Jesus Christ, trying to to overthrow him, trying to do away with him, reminding you that Satan and these angels are not all going. I believe he knows his time is short. And I believe he knew of the Christ. God told him so in Genesis chapter 3. He knew of the seed of woman that was to come and to break his head, to bruise his head, a death blow to him. So Satan and his angels and his emissaries and all that they could muster trying to prevent his coming. After he came, they tried to kill him, do away with him. But he came, the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. By him, everything that was created was created, and in him was life and light. So Satan looked like to him like he'd killed the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Lord Jesus Christ was life. And so then again, on the third day, he came forth from the grave. He overthrew Satan. And Satan knows that his time is at hand, but he goes to work and goes to battle against the people of God, the children of God, those who are in Christ, seeking to destroy us, seeking to destroy our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians in chapter 2. And look with me here at verses 9 and 10. And then we'll be dropping down to verse 15. For in him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness. He is God. He has all the perfections of God. He's equal with God. He is God. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. He is the head of all principality. He created it. He created Lucifer. He created the fallen angels as well as the elect angels, as well as heaven and earth and all that in it is created. He is the head of all principality and power. Look at verse 15. And have spoiled, because this principality, these powers who warred against him, verse 15 says, and having spoiled, having defeated, having ruined those principalities and powers, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. See, Colossians tells us that he overcame those principalities and powers which warred against him and which are warring against you. So what does that tell me? What does that tell you? If Jesus Christ overcame them and we're in Christ, we too can overcome them. We too shall overcome them. We are going to overcome them. And we can overcome them now in his strength and his mighty power. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 22. speaking concerning Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Yes, Satan and those fallen angels, all his demons and the forces that are warring against us, they're made subject unto him. And we might say, well, why does he allow them to rage? To prove us, to test us, to strengthen us, to trust him, to rely upon his strength, to rely upon his mighty power, to take unto ourselves the whole armor of God. He's told us in his word, I have an armament for you. You're in a war. I have an armament for you. Put it on. Use it. Be familiar with it. Praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us. God has revealed to us, to his church, who was the book of Ephesians written to? Who's the letter to the Ephesians? Well, you say, well, it was to the Ephesians. Well, who were the Ephesians? They were saved church members. They were church members who had been saved by the marvelous and wonderful grace of God. And so, it's written to them. So he has revealed to us, to his church, that there is an evil force that we have to war against. And that evil force has been given access, is given access, to the spirit of man. And it can influence us to do evil. What do you think about the book of Job? What do you think Satan's intention was there? Not necessarily to afflict him physically, but he thought if he afflicted him, if he was allowed to afflict him physically, that it would affect him spiritually, and that he would deny God and curse God and die. You see, Satan was given access to the spirit of Job to discourage him, to get him to do all he could to get him to curse God, to renounce God. But he failed. Satan, who rules over the darkness, he rules over the darkness. He's the father of darkness. Talking about spiritual darkness. Men love darkness. John chapter 3, verse 19. Men love darkness. Why? Why they love darkness? Why they love walking in darkness? Because their deeds are evil. And they love walking in that darkness. Our only hope as believers in Christ Jesus is to put on the whole armor of God, to rely upon his strength and his mighty power, and taking up the armor of God and putting it on. Turn with me to the book of Luke, and we'll close with the book of Luke. We're going to read more than just this one passage, but the book of Luke in chapter 4. And look with me here at verse 6. This is a well-known passage of Scripture. It's in the book of Matthew, the book of Mark, and the book of Luke. It is when Jesus went into the wilderness after being baptized, and there he met with temptation from Satan. The same kind of temptations that you and I face. But look at verse 6. And the devil said unto him, unto Jesus, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. I'll give you all this power. I'll give you all this glory. If you just worship me. Satan wants us to follow his bidding, follow his leading. He shows us things all the time that look good and wonderful and beautiful to the flesh. And Satan says, it's yours. Just follow me. Just follow me. Into it. It's yours. Look, turn with me to the 22nd chapter of Luke now. Luke 22. And verse 31. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. You see, Peter wasn't even aware of Satan's intentions. Peter wasn't aware that Satan wanted him. Grab hold of him. Peter wasn't aware that Satan was influencing him to do evil, and that in just a few hours he would forsake the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom he said, I'll never forsake you. In fact, it kind of get the idea that Peter's rebuking Christ for saying such a thing. Though all men forsake you, I'll not forsake you. I'll die with you. Well, Peter didn't know what he was saying. And he did die for Christ. But not until he had forsaken him 3 times, as the Lord said, before the cock crow. So Satan is a mighty force to be reckoned with. One other passage, if I can find it, it just come to my mind. It's in the book of Jude. Now, give me a moment here. See if I can find it. It's where that not even Michael the archangel just durst fight with Satan over the body. Verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him, against Satan, a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. We think of Michael as being a pretty powerful angel, do we not? But you see, Michael, the archangel, was not even a force to deal with Satan. He had to do it in the power and strength of the Lord. Let us not go on thinking too highly of ourselves, lest we fall. 1 Corinthians 10, 12. Let us not think we're a match for Satan. No, I can resist this temptation or that temptation. It doesn't bother me. It won't bother me. Look at it. Peter thought the same. He denied the Lord three times. My archangel, the mighty angel of God, was not even able to fight in war against Satan. He had to do it in the power and strength of the Lord. You and I can only be victorious over Satan and his forces as we rely upon the power and strength of the Lord, taking unto ourselves the whole armor of God. Shall we stand, be dismissed then?